Well, let me add my welcome to Bev's. My name's Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. It's really great to have you here for our Christmas carol service. And if you're sat at home, it's lovely to have you join us. And I guess one of the most important decisions we'll have to make this Christmas time is the question of real or fake. That's right. In your house, do you have a real or fake Christmas tree? Now, statistically, our nation, there are two numbers which represent how many people will have a real or fake Christmas tree in their house. And here they are on the screen, 64% or 17%. Now, which one do you think represents the fake Christmas trees? What do you think? I'll talk to the person next to you if you want. What do you reckon? Okay, that will do, that will do. So, the number of people who have a fake Christmas tree in the UK this year are 64%. Ooh, there's a bit of a yes and a ooh. And I tell you what, I don't know what your favourite Christmas traditions are at home. We have to confess, out of all the stuff that we do in our house, it is the Christmas tree. And I remember a few years ago, about 5, 6 years ago, my wife was on the phone to her parents, and they had to break the news to her. They said, "Grace, I'm sorry, my sweetheart, but this year we are having an artificial tree." And these were the words that came out of her mouth. "Dad," this is as a 36-year-old woman, "Dad, fake tree, fake Christmas." Now, I don't know whether you can actually tell the difference between a fake and a real Christmas tree. So we're just going to test that now in the room. So here we have one on the screen. And again, you can just talk. Do you think that's fake? Or do you think it's real? What do you think? What do you think? Okay, let me tell you. I'm going to calm it down just out of interest. Who here thinks it's fake? Okay, that's about half the room. If you put your hands up, you are in fact right. It is fake. This is the John Lewis Brunswick Spruce unlit Christmas tree, 7 foot. It's currently on reduced to clear, 249, now down to 174. That's still a lot of money on a fake Christmas tree. This next one, real or fake? Let's have a look at it. What do you think, real or fake? I'll give you a moment, real or fake? Okay, I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you again. I'm going to ask. Okay, this time, who thinks it is a real Christmas tree? Oh, look at that, about half the room again. If you stuck your hand up and thought it was a real Christmas tree, you were in fact wrong as well. This is from, you can get this from Argos. It's a Habitat 6 foot, pre-lit, upswept, mixed tip Christmas tree, £83. Final one, okay. Outside City Hall in Norwich. Fake or real? Fake or real? Okay, I'm going to stop you. Okay, I want you to put your hands up if you think it is real. Put your hands up. Okay, for those at home, that's about two-thirds of the room. And let me tell you, I have no idea. But honestly, I reckon it's fake. If anyone works at City Hall, can you please tell me? That would be great. Now, it's worth dwelling on the fact it is a remarkable tradition that what we have here is a huge piece of nature. And for lots of us, we bring it, 17% of us, we bring it into our living room each year. It is so beautiful. And yet it is also a powerful illustration of the story of humanity. And it points us back to the wonder of the very first Christmas when Jesus was born, God with us. Now, these are the words that came from my wife, Grace, this week. "Reese, The tree is already sagging. Reese, get the Hoover, because our non-drop Christmas tree is dropping. Reese, when was the last time you watered the Christmas tree? Get under there and do it. Now, you see, what happens as soon as you cut the tree from its root? It starts dying. Now, we water it, but the drinking only prolongs the inevitable. However many baubles are hung, however many lights are put on, they mask a reality that time inevitably reveals. Deterioration and then dispatch to the scrap heap. So the inevitability of what we see with the tree is what we see looking back in the mirror at us every single day. Our lives are like the Christmas tree that we're covering with baubles and tinsel. You know, the hair that starts falling out and we think, do I need to book a trip to Turkey? The energy that we once had that you think it's not quite there so much. The body parts that used to work so well, those knees, but don't anymore. Now, you're probably thinking, come on, Andy, I am sat in a Christmas service. Why are you talking like this? I want happiness and life, not death. But to understand the power and light of Christmas, to understand the wonder and the joy of it, we have to grapple with the darkness we all face. Now, we know death is a normal part of life. Yet the Bible says it is profoundly unnatural. Deep down, we know that. There's a reason why the words of the Welsh poet Dylan Thomas in his famous poem, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night, chime with us. A repeated refrain, he says this, rage, rage against the dying of the light. See, death feels so wrong. It's so deeply painful to lose people we love. We rage against the dying of the light. Why? Because the Bible says when God created us, he put eternity in our hearts. See, you are made for life. Life everlasting, connected to God himself, our creator. He is the source of all life, both now and for eternity. All life, it begins with him. All life is sustained by him. He's the source of all our lives. And when you think of the Christmas tree, he is the roots, as it were. And to be cut off from him is to be cut off from the source of life. Now that sounds a bit extreme and a bit bizarre, doesn't it? And we don't all do that, do we? But the Bible says all of us, you know, one thing we in all of humanity has in common is that we all say explicitly or maybe by indifference that we're not going to trust God. We don't want him as our grounding, our roots, the foundation of our lives. We actually don't really want to know because we want to live our lives independently. But by doing that, we are cutting ourselves off from the source of life. And so just like this Christmas tree, there it is. It's actually a lot lighter than it looks because it is dead. You see that? You can't miss it. Takes up half the stage. See, we get what is inevitable when we cut ourselves off from the roots that give nutrients and life. Now, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16. It's short, but it's full of punch. And maybe it's not what you'd expect as a traditional Christmas reading, but in fact it is. At its heart, it explains why Christmas is so glorious. Let's see it on the screen. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, we've looked at the darkness, but John 3:16, you see it there, gives us light. It says Jesus came so that we can have life. And you see that in the verse, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When we look at the baby in a manger, he's our Savior. He's God entering to bring light and life and hope. And through his life, and ultimately through his life-giving death, where he deals with all our sin and guilt, the hell it deserves, and conquers death itself, he can offer us the eternal life we all long for. See, as you look at the manger in the stable, you see God saying, I want you to live. God saying to you, I love you. And I want you to have life with me. God saying, I want you to have hope in the mess. I want you to know you have a meaning and a purpose. See, God has made a way for your life not to be like the Christmas tree dying from the roots up, but through Jesus to be connected to the roots that give life, the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that changes everything. Everything in the present. We will die, but it gives us hope of resurrection life beyond, with the triune God and all of God's people in a world Jesus describes as paradise. Now, a few years ago, some friends of ours sent us a present in the post. And I'm going to show you this present they sent us in the post. Could you just have it down here? Here we go. Thank you very much. Yeah, there we go. Okay. This was sent. I'm going to lean it there. I've got absolute confidence in this lectern. This, about 3 years ago, was packed in a small little cardboard box that was posted through the door, and there it was, our own little evergreen. I don't want to go on about it. Why do you have an evergreen at Christmas? Of course, there's the lovely smell that you would never have with an artificial tree. But why does an evergreen look evergreen? Because it is still connected to the roots. So you look around at the trees, and which are the trees that are green, even though every other tree's lost its leaf? It is the evergreen. You see, the evergreen is a symbol of everlasting life. And here's the thing I've been thinking about. If Grace and I, my wife and I, if we play our cards right with this tree, not only will I be able to save some money on Christmas trees, but my children... And if they have children, my grandchildren, and if my grandchildren have children, my great-grandchildren, and if they have children, my great-great-grandchildren, who definitely won't remember my first name, will be able to enjoy this tree. See, when Grace and I are long gone from this world, this tree will still live. It's an evergreen. It's connected to its roots. It will live. God has made you to be an evergreen. To be connected to him. And all the everlasting, abounding, soul-satisfying, death-defying, guilt-cleansing, paradise-securing life that can only be come to you from being connected to Christ. And I guess as you look at the stage, there are three trees. And look at that on the camera. It looks an absolute state, doesn't it? Which tree do you think you are? As you look at the stage, which tree do you want to be? That verse that we were looking at earlier, John 3:16. Let's have it up on the screen again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know the thing that changed you from being a tree cut off from God to being a tree rooted back with your Creator? It's not trying harder. It's not trying to live a half-decent life. It's receiving the life Jesus offers as a gift by believing in him as your Lord and Savior. Saying, Jesus, forgive me and accept me and change me. I'm following you now. Now, I don't know how you're feeling in this room as we talk about this. And some of us are here thinking, do you know what? I do worry about death and what lies beyond. And is there a God? And can I know him? And I have so many questions. And if that's you, I want to say, look, you know, when, as these books are taken, grab one and read it over Christmas. That'd be a great way to spend an hour thinking about these things. And won't come back on a Sunday. You know, we're a nice bunch, and you can come by Sunday, and you can hear it and hear at your own pace and ask your questions or come on a course. But maybe it is just you think, you know, I've heard enough, and I want Jesus to reconnect me. If that's you, I'd love to talk to you after tonight's service. I'd love to come and have a chat and explain more about what it means to believe in Jesus, the baby in a manger who grew up to be a man, to be our Savior. Let's bow our heads.